This is Creepy and Geeky, a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Welcome to Creepy and Geeky. I'm your host, Robert, and on today's episode, we'll be talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Returning to the show for this episode is my daughter, Katrina. Welcome back to the show, Katrina.
Thank you.
Yeah. So first up, this is coming a little bit late.
Sorry.
You know, we've had... Yeah. I wasn't going to call you out, but... Katrina wanted
to... Sorry, I have a life.
Yeah, well, whatever.
And also take naps a lot.
Yes, that's it more than anything else. Is that when we're set to record, she ends up taking a nap.
To be fair, he doesn't wake me up.
No, because I'm trying to let you have a nap. You know, I don't want you to wake me up when I'm taking a nap.
But, like, a nap is supposed to be, like, an hour, not, like, 4 hours.
Yeah, but again, I did try to wake you up last night, and you... didn't wake up, and so
because you didn't try hard enough. I was like, I guess he didn't want to do the podcast, so I'm just gonna go back to bed.
You were obviously
that was my thinking.
Tired.
That was literally
whatever. You were too tired, and I just said screw it. So anyway, yes, this episode is unfortunately being recorded Friday night, and I'll have it out on Saturday morning. So when you're hearing this on Saturday morning, we literally just recorded it the night before.
Yep.
So. In addition to talking about Shang-Chi.
Very late.
Yeah. So in addition to talking about Shang-Chi, I also wanted to talk about the new movie Imaginary that just came out on...
Spoiler-free.
What? Yeah, spoiler-free.
Yeah.
So no spoilers for the Imaginary movie. I just want to talk real quick about it because we actually just saw it on Thursday night. And, rarely do we have the chance to talk about something new on the podcast, in time for a release. So I had a lot of fun with this movie. This movie is, for anybody who doesn't know, it's called Imaginary. It's about a little girl who finds this bear and has this imaginary friend through it. And turns out, this is all in the trailer. Turns out that the stepmom, who also had an imaginary friend as well, and this imaginary friend is telling the little girl to do bad things. So it's your typical, like for me, it seemed like from the trailers, it seemed like your typical kind of imaginary friend movie. And I just recently covered a couple of those on the podcast with Angel Krause. We talked about Z and Come Play. And and those were good, but I feel like this one was even better in a way. I don't know. This one was better for me than those other two. And it was a lot more interesting. And it had those moments where like a revelation happens, or not necessarily a twist, but something happens, through the course of the movie that kind of changes the narrative in a way. Or changes the way we look at the movie and the story in it. So it was interesting in that way. And it had some nice spooky, scary moments. Katrina literally jumped at one point.
Oh my God. I will tell you, I only jump in my shoulders. So when it happened, I literally just like, if you can imagine me just sitting in the chair, I just went, like, yeah. Just like my shoulders just bounced, but then it shockwaves the rest of my body.
it's like a really intense shrug.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's just my shoulders.
There's some good moments in it. I definitely don't want to spoil anything, but there's some good moments in it. Everybody's doing a good job in it. Betty Buckley, who was in the movie, the original Carrie movie, and she was also later on in Split. I believe she's the therapist in Split. So she's in this, and It's just it was really fun. I thought it, you know, if you're going into it, you just saw the trailers and you just think it's kind of generic. You know, it I'm not going to say that it's like a perfect movie or anything like that. It's not something that that super wowed me, but impressed me based on the trailers I saw. I was interested enough to go see it, but
Yeah.
once we did go see it, I was like, wow, this is actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be, because I
As
just thought
kind
it was going to
of
be run of the mill. Go ahead.
someone who's more like a casual horror movie watcher, like I was really like surprised by where the movie went. And I
Yeah.
was like at the end I was like, wow, this was like a lot better than I was anticipating.
Right.
So
Yeah.
if you're kind of like me where you kind of like you think a movie's interesting and you're not sure if you want to see it, but like I would say just go see it. Like,
Yeah, I'd say give it a try at least, you
yeah.
know. And if you don't want to go out and watch the movie at the theaters, you know, definitely catch it once it's on streaming. Because it's fun. It's a PG-13, so there's not a lot of real gore or, you know, no language or anything like that. So it's a good fun, you
I
know,
think they
PG-13.
do curse slightly a little bit in it, but it's
Right.
PG-13 cursing, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to say a little bit about it because I didn't, you know, rarely do we get the chance to talk about a new movie, as it's coming out. So, but yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get back into talking about Shang-Chi. This is the second movie of the MCU's Phase 4 of the and in the new multiverse saga. Again, these last two, Black Widow and this one, really don't have a lot to do with anything involving the multiverse per se. But I, you know, we could say that Tao Lo being in an alternate dimension is possibly, you know, part of a multiverse style thing. I don't see it so much as that. But you know, an argument could be made for that. But yeah, this was a fun one because this is, you know, it's our first Asian lead character, and you know, it's a totally new thing. We're getting this, you know, getting a lot more. We've had martial arts kind of stuff in the MCU, but not to this degree. And this level of, you know, we're getting some new mysticism, you know, outside of the Doctor Strange arena now. So we're getting something a little bit, you know, adjacent to that. So which was nice. And especially involving another culture as well. So that's a lot of fun. And so, you know, Simu Liu plays Shang-Chi. When we're first introduced to him, he's going by the name Sean, and who's just this, you know, guy. They live in San Francisco. He's just a guy who hangs out with his best friend. Can't think of her
Both
name.
valet.
What?
They're both valet
They're both
drivers.
valets. Yeah, I thought you were going to say what her name was. I can't remember the
No.
character's name, but her
I'll
it's
look it
played
up.
by Awkwafina, who, you know, is kind of hit or miss for me. She's okay. She doesn't bug me, but she also doesn't wow me. Like I can take her or leave her. But she,
Katie. Katie's the
Katie.
name.
Yes, Katie. So I mean, but she's got some good funny moments in this, so I'm good with it. So there, you know, you're introduced to I think we get a little backstory about the Ten Rings and stuff in the very beginning as well. It's been a couple of days since I saw the movie, and it's been a kind of a jumble. But yeah, I mean this. It all like, and I don't want to do a run through, but I think that like getting to see this movie, and getting introduced to new characters. So yeah, I like that, you know, at post Endgame, we're starting to at least with Shang-Chi being the second movie, we're starting to explore some new ground rather than continuing on with some of the characters that we've known already and been involved with. I like that we with Shang-Chi that we're getting new stuff, you know, and that plays into you know, the MCU stuff, the Disney Plus shows and stuff as well, where we're starting to get more characters like that are going to be coming soon too, like Moon Knight and She-Hulk and Miss Marvel. So I like that, you know, as much as there was a, you know, a lot of it and it was kind of uneven at times, that we were introduced to a lot of character, a lot of new characters, and this is really where it starts, is with Shang-Chi. And I'm disappointed, and as are a lot of people, that we haven't gotten a new Shang-Chi movie, that we haven't gotten a sequel yet. Of all the things, you know, to be doing during all this, I know they're trying to like do a bunch of new things, but we haven't gotten a new movie yet, and I
They
feel
haven't
like
even
they're
really mentioned the Ten Rings at all in
no.
any new stuff that's been released. And like, Shang-Chi is like one of my all-time favorite MCU films.
Yeah.
As soon as it came out, I was like, this is the best movie of all time. And I still think that it's a very, very good movie. And
Yeah.
for the Marvel people to just kind of let it sit on the back burner for this much of an extended period of time makes it feel like they're almost never going to come back to it, which is like, I hope they do, because I think the Ten Rings are very interesting. Especially like, there's an end credit scene specifically where a group of the like Avengers people are like talking about some sort of signal that the Ten Rings is letting off. And they don't know where it's sending the signal to. They don't know where it's coming from, but there is a signal that's being sent. And I think that that is a fantastic segue into a new story involving Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings and possibly other characters in the MCU. And I think it's a failure on Marvel's part to not do it in good enough time so that Shang-Chi is still on people's radars. Because if they do it 5 years after the movies come out, that's stale content now. Like,
It could
movies
be,
that
yeah,
came
you
out
know.
5 years ago, I don't really remember a lot of the stuff that came out, like, in movie-wise 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that to a degree. But you got to remember, like, you know, so some of the Marvel movies, the in between, like some of the Thor and Captain Americans and stuff like that, they didn't have a 5-year gap, but they definitely had a gap. And I feel like the Shang-Chi is definitely going to be more than a 5-year gap at this point. I feel like there's no urgency to revisit it. And that's because a large part of the problem too is that between COVID and then the writers slash actors strike that we just had, that there's these, those were two really big momentum killers, and that it's going to, they're still reeling from that, in addition to now, because of the whole streaming stuff where they were pushing a lot of content out on the onto the streamers. I hate using the word content, but they were putting shows out on the on Disney Plus, that they are now backing away from that, and they're even backing away from doing movies. We're only getting one new Marvel movie this year, which is Deadpool and Wolverine, and you know, one MCU movie. And we're only getting two shows this year. One of them already came out, which was Echo, and then the other one is the Agatha show. And it's so we're not getting a lot of content this year, a lot of stuff this year to really get into, because they're starting to re like focus, and they need to, because there's been some hiccups, especially in the last, you know, year or so, where they were doing too much and they were spreading themselves too thin, and they need
I
to
think also
refocus.
something that's also affecting them, not even just COVID and the strikes and stuff,
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the movies that they've released have not performed well. Like,
Well,
people did not go out and see Ant-Man. People did
all
not go out and see Thor. People didn't like the Doctor Strange movie.
so
Like,
all of those movies did well enough. The only movie that didn't do well was the Marvels. That's the only one that's like the other ones might.
that one was in the middle of a strike against Disney.
Yeah, and that one, yeah. So that one had issues going
That one
into it.
had like multiple different things going on
That one
for it,
literally came
but
out
yeah.
like the day after the strike ended. And so that one suffered from no publicity going into it. That one already had strikes against it because there were a lot of people, a lot of jerky people who were being negative about the first Miss Marvel or the first Captain Marvel movie. And there was a lot of people who were reluctant to go into it because they didn't want to have to watch WandaVision and Miss Marvel first to be introduced to the characters. It's just there were so many other issues going on with it, in addition to the other stuff, that it's just that one got hurt by many different issues. And so that's the only one that really didn't make its money, I think.
I'll
The
just
other
say
ones.
that from a person who worked at the theaters,
Yeah.
the amount of people who came and saw, like of course Marvel movies are going to do well. Of course they're going to be busy. Of course they're going to sell. But it's a matter of like how long those movies stick around and how long those things are. When the theater that I was working at the time, which was in Metro Atlanta, got Creed. Creed had sold out shows every single day of the week, all hours of the day, until about 3.5 weeks past the release date, which is not typical. Most movies die off pretty much after the first weekend. If you're lucky, maybe another two. Avatar, it did about 2.5 weeks. Thor and Ant-Man and some of the other more recent MCU films came out and died off within that first weekend. Of course, the MCU fans who want to go and watch them are coming out the next weekend. But typically for Marvel, like when we had Spider-Man No Way Home, that movie had the same amount of stuff that Creed was getting. However, like that was during the holidays, so a lot more people were able to go. But even during the holidays, like Thor released during the summer and did not see that level of stuff. And like, I know it's kind of comparing apples to oranges with Thor not having the collab stuff with the other Spider-Man and all of that stuff, but taking away that and just seeing how the movies did at face value with their MCU content, because people were already excited about Spider-Man despite the collaboration stuff. So they just did not do well. And I think that's what's kind of like hurting Marvel right now in their pockets.
There's a
In their
certain,
pockets.
yeah.
Because that's why they're not releasing a lot of stuff, in my opinion, is
There's
they're not
a
seeing
degree of that for
good
sure.
results. Like
Yeah.
Deadpool and Wolverine, sure, that's going to be popular,
That's gonna be
but
pretty big, I think.
yeah, it's going to definitely be popular, especially now that we're 4 years into the pandemic and not a lot of people are really caring too much about social distancing and things like that. And more people are going to movies now more than they have been since the
Right.
pandemic started. So it's definitely going to do better. But I don't know. That's just my take on it from
Yeah.
somebody who worked in the thing and was able to see the numbers myself. Like I was able
Right.
to see how Thor was performing against other films that had come out within recent weeks that weren't MCU movies, and it was sad to
Yeah.
say the least. Like an MCU film typically is supposed to do much, much, much bigger than any other film that is being released within the same week or
Well,
weeks prior,
so
and it wasn't even being able to combat it. Like there were movies that had released that were still leagues above it that were releasing in the same week or releasing the week prior.
No, and here's the thing though, like, and this is where we have to reframe our thoughts on this process, on all of this too, is one, their budget's ballooned out of proportion, like crazy huge budgets for these movies and everything that they didn't really need to have as much. They need to scale that back a little bit, number one. Number two, we need to stop thinking of every Marvel movie as an event, because the event is the Avengers movies. Those are the big event ones. The other stuff, the stuff in between, is the building blocks to get to those things. And I think that's the problem that, you know, Marvel has in thinking about it themselves, where they're trying to bring in that audience for like an Endgame level thing. And that's how the audience is also perceiving it too, is that it needs to be an Endgame level thing or it's not successful. And that's the thing. Every one of these movies from Phase Four has made their money, except for the Marvels. Every other one of them had done well enough. Some did extraordinarily well, like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 last year did really well. Now it was sandwiched in between what was it? Oh, what was I thinking? The Marvels and Ant-Man Quantumania. And so those two movies didn't do as well, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 did really, really well and made a lot of money. And so it's one of those things where it's one, they've got to scale back. They really do. And that's what they're doing now. They are going to scale back. They're going to release less. Especially on Disney Plus, and then people need to stop thinking that every MCU movie has to be an Endgame level hit, because Endgame was literally the culmination of 12 years of buildup, and there's nothing. We've got to start fresh again, because one, we don't have the stars that we had anymore. We don't have Tony Stark. We don't have Captain America. We don't have those characters or those actors who are willing to do it anymore and go into this completely fresh and new, and kind of not necessarily fully restart, because there's stuff to build on. But that's kind of where it is with this, even with this movie with Shang-Chi, is that we're starting new with new characters, building on, you know, what's come before. But Shang-Chi, it kind of exists on its own. It does have a character that has previously appeared, and has ideas that previously appeared, because the Ten Rings organization had previously appeared in the Iron Man movies. And so it's a neat little continuation of that kind of stuff. But like, you know, that's where I think people just get up in their heads about it, is that it just, everybody's like, oh, these have to be the next level, you know, the best movies ever. And it's like, it doesn't have to be, you know. And for every Avengers, we also had the Ant-Man movies that did well. The original, like the first two Ant-Man movies, were smaller, lower budgeted, did well enough, but didn't do gangbusters. You know what I
But
mean?
the
So
thing about the difference between like Ant-Man and when we're talking about Shang-Chi is Ant-Man was actually able to participate in other films, and I think that Marvel did a much better job at continuing their characters' stories during whatever phases those were,
yeah.
rather than now, where Marvel keeps introducing new characters, and only now at the end of Marvels are we seeing actual collaboration between the characters.
Well,
And
we see it a little bit.
as a casual viewer of MCU who likes the Marvel movies, who I'm not expecting every single film to
No,
be
I
an
know you're not.
Endgame
I
level
wasn't saying
event.
you, I was saying
I know,
other
but I'm
people.
just saying, like, for the general majority of people who are watching the MCU movies, they're pretty casual people, in my
Right.
opinion. And they're not expecting all these movies to be Endgame level events, but they're expecting some sort of continuity that the Marvel movies have had in the past. And so now that we're having these new movies coming out since Endgame, not having that continuity, not having this like the kind of like
But see,
connection to each other that all the other ones had, It's getting frustrating for me, particularly as
Well,
a
for
viewer,
you maybe, but
to
I've heard a lot of people say they don't like the connections. They don't like all the things that make it where you have to follow along with each movie. They want more movies and shows that aren't connected, that are just like you can just watch it by itself without having to worry about having seen the previous, bunch of movies before it.
I think
And
that was something that you could do with the original movies.
I've argued this on multiple occasions on the show, is that you can do that with any of the movies. Every movie is its own individual movie that has maybe somebody as a part of, I mean, I would argue that Infinity War and Endgame don't. You need some backstory with those. But the other movies, they have things in them, yes, that may be building on something that came before, but by and large, you can watch the movie without that backstory
I
and
can
still
understand
get
people's
most of
concern about the barrier to entry with some of
to a
the Marvel
degree, but I
stuff
still think that
because
it's largely okay.
a lot of people have like a definite like I don't know how to phrase it, but like preference to know the characters they're watching, and especially for superhero films.
Right.
They want to know the characters who they're watching because it when you're watching, because that's the thing that Marvel sometimes does is that they're pretty okay at telling you who these characters are without needing to give you
Watch all
that,
that extra
watch
stuff.
all that
Yeah.
stuff, but they don't always do it that well. Like, I can definitely see somebody watching the Marvels and being fine with not knowing who these people are because they give enough
Yeah, they give
background-ish.
enough, but they give you a little taste, and they're like, well, here's, and then they're like, if you want to know more, go back and watch these other things. And I
Yeah.
think that's the
But
good
that
thing
can be
about,
frustrating as a viewer, not knowing who
sure.
these characters are suddenly appearing together as a team when you're like, okay, well, where do these
But
people
again,
all
to
come
me,
from
that
and
is
what are their
comic,
connections and
but
things?
this is the very essence of comic books, though. And I get that that's not for everybody. But that's the very essence of comic books, is that sometimes you'll read a story and you're like, oh, okay, there's all these different characters, and this is interesting. Who are these characters? And then you'll find out, okay, well, they existed in these other comic books that came before. Let me go read those and catch up on their backstories and stuff. And you could do that. And that's basically exactly what they're doing here in these movies, is go back and watch these movies if you want to. You don't have to. If you're getting enough information from these, great. Enjoy. That's perfect. But if you want to know more about Nick Fury or whoever, go back and watch some of these other movies to get some more information. And I think they do a generally pretty good job of that, because they don't want to make it so hard for, like you said, that barrier of entry. They don't want to do that. They want people to come to these movies and enjoy them. And and I've told this before, I've heard of people who had never watched any of the previous Marvel movies and went into Infinity War and Endgame completely blind, and still was able to understand and enjoy them. Even though, to me, I feel like you need that backstory, but obviously it's not always true. You can get into them, enjoy them, and then go back and rewatch everything, or watch everything the first time, if that's something you want to do. So, but let's get back on Shang-Chi. But but that's what makes Shang-Chi interesting about that in this phase too. In phase four, they're like, we're going to introduce some new characters. We're going to introduce Shang-Chi. We're going to introduce the Eternals next. They're going to introduce some characters in the Disney Plus shows, like we said, and then they're going to continue some of the stories, like with Thor and the Black Panther movie, and all this other stuff that comes in a little bit later. And most of what comes, like the rest of this phase, is mostly just continuation of stuff that had come before. But we do get a few new stuff, especially with Shang-Chi. And I think that that's, goes back to what we were saying earlier, is that I really want them to continue this story and continue having him as a character, even if he is, like you said, popping up just as a minor character, maybe here or there. And the problem is that every few movies, every phase, every end of a phase, we had an Avengers movie, and we haven't had that in a while. Even if it's a small Avengers movie, every phase should have built to like an event of some sort. And that's what didn't happen with phase four. And that's what's kind of, I think, has still kind of made everything go a little weird for everybody.
I think that's what I'm like, that's what I've been trying to say is that there's been no consistency through the movies, whereas before you could follow along a general overarching storyline, but that storyline was really only present in the end credit scenes.
Right. They were building slowly to that.
When
big
I'm
event.
Like watching the Shang-Chi end credit scenes, and then I'm watching the Eternals end credit scenes, and I'm watching all of these other movies that I'm excited to see where it's going to go, and then be 3 years in and still have nothing to show for it, that's frustrating.
No,
as a
it
viewer.
Is. Yeah, no, I'll,
so
I agree with
that's
that.
That's all I'm trying to say is that, because that is literally the like biggest gripe I have with current Marvel is that they do not, I feel like the people ahead of Marvel don't know where they're going. Like I can see kind of now with Marvels, at the end of Marvels, where they're trying to go with this. And there's been kind of like hints and tidbits here and there with like the kid Avengers stuff. But it's still like, if you're not into the comic books and you don't know anything about Kid Avengers and you're just watching these movies and you're like, okay, all of these characters keep popping up. And now there's this end credit scene at the end of the Marvels about Miss Marvel trying to band together a team of people.
Right.
Then,
and it's the Young Avengers, by the way, not the Kid Avengers, but
whatever.
But
same
no,
difference.
I agree with you that they should have been building towards something, and the little bits and pieces that we get that they are building towards, it's not coming together quite quick enough.
I've been waiting 3 years for Shang-Chi's sister to have a movie or a show of her own.
Yeah. Well, like, but that's the problem, is that we can't give every little side character their own show or anything. I mean, we could when they were talking about like doing everything, but it looks like, as I saw something today, was it looks like they're quietly kind of killing some of the things that they had already announced. Like,
I don't care about Pip the Troll or anything like that.
That wasn't going to come to pass anyway. But that, I mean, but that's even still. But that's what I mean.
That's still
by,
like one of those things that's still, like, okay, you're bringing these characters in, you're bringing these interesting pieces in, and you're making it seem like they're going to be part of the story, and then you're completely abandoning them. So what is canon? What is not? Are these end credit scenes even actually in the actual reality that we're watching the movies in? Because it feels like, based on the things that they're going to be excluding, it's that none of this shit is ever going to be coming to fruition, and that all of these end credit scenes are just kind of things to give to the audience to make them laugh and make them more interested in watching more Marvel movies. And the hope, it's kind of like clickbait. Like, Marvel is clickbaiting their audiences with these end credit scenes by going, hey, watch the next movie, maybe this will be in it. Nope. Yeah. Go watch the next movie. Maybe this thing at the end of this movie will be in the next one. Nope.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so, I mean, but
that's
here's
where
the thing.
I'm at. That's where I'm at. I'm getting frustrated watching these Marvel movies having nothing to do with the past ones.
Well,
especially
and I get
because
it.
They were like going on such a good route back in 2021 with Black Widow, with Eternals, with Shang-Chi, with like Spider-Man and all these other movies. They were on such a good like roll, and then it's gone nowhere.
Well, and again, this has a lot to do with them spreading themselves a little too thin, too fast, with all the TV shows and stuff like that were coming out on Disney Plus. Kevin Feige was still overseeing everything. And so instead of overseeing three movies a year, he's now overseeing, overseeing three movies a year plus a bunch of TV shows. And so that was like, okay, well, one, either he needs help, or two, you need to, you know, shore that up a bit and maybe release things a little bit less. Now, I would suggest, you know, getting help, because I, as a big MCU fan, I'd like to see more stuff. Now, I get that most people aren't me and they don't care to see all that stuff and that they get overwhelmed by it. But, you know, again, I still will argue, watch what you're interested in. You don't have to watch everything like I do. Just watch the things you're interested in, and, you know, hope that not hope that, but when things come up that are like, say the Marvels or something like that, then you go back and watch those shows that you missed, that, like you did. You didn't really watch WandaVision or Miss Marvel before the Marvels. I mean, once you knew the Marvels was coming out and you knew those characters were in it, you were like, okay, now I got to go back and watch these shows so I know who these characters are. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that's all it is. And that's the same thing with this movie, with Shang-Chi. I think eventually they are going to do a sequel and we'll get more with all of these characters. And I think it'll be a fun movie and we'll hopefully get to see Shang-Chi in a version of the Avengers team. Because, I mean, they are building that up. There's Shang-Chi, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, all these characters who can form a new Avengers team around Sam Wilson's Captain America. And so, there's these people who can become an Avengers team. So it's just we gotta wait it out. There's still some room on the schedule for stuff in phase six. We're still only in phase five now. So there's some stuff that had never been announced for phase six. So they could be potentially, announcing a Shang-Chi 2. So, which would be great. I hope so. It'd be a fun movie, but yeah. Let's talk more about this movie. Because, we find out that Shang-Chi is this son of, this man. Blinking on his name now. He's called the Mandarin, but that's not how he goes by.
That's not his actual name.
Yeah, in the movie.
Hold on, let me look at this.
I'm
look
looking
his
it
name
up.
Up.
I'm already looking it up. Zhu Wenwu. Wenwu is what they all call him throughout the movie. So he's this guy who got these 10 rings. And in the movie, they're rings that are basically like bracelets that go around his arms and can come off and do all these different things. He can use them like a whip, or he can use it to help him fly in a way. So there's all these different things that they can do now, which is different from what it does in the comic books. Now, in the comic books, the rings are like actual rings. Sorry. That go on the fingers, and they go on your fingers, and each one of the rings had a different power. Like one was like a laser, one was fire, one was ice, something like that. So each one of them had different abilities, and they did come from an alien source, from another alien race. So that was interesting. It would have been great to have that, but again, as is usual for the MCU, they've got to change it up and make it their own unique version, which is good. As much as I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to see the actual things, I'm always good with their changes because it doesn't change anything from what's in the comic books. If I want to go read up on that Mandarin character, I can. I'll go read that one and check out his whole story. I like what they did here and made him pretty sympathetic as well. Like, sure, he's after power and everything like that, and he's not the greatest person, but you can sympathize with him, especially, once he does fall in love with this woman, who ends up becoming Shang-Chi's mother. And, and then you get all the backstory of, once she is like, so he gives up being this, criminal guy who'd been around for hundreds of years. The rings also extended his life.
Yeah.
And so he gave up being this guy. He gave up being the Mandarin. And then some criminals came to his house and killed his wife. And then he was like, well, now it's time to take it back up. And so he became the Mandarin again and started teaching Shang-Chi how to fight and everything. And then his sister, Shang-Chi's sister, I'm probably not going to pronounce this correct, but Zhi Ling, she wanted to learn how to also, but she was not able to learn with the person that was teaching Shang-Chi. And so she just kind of watched him and learned on her own. And so, you know, fast forward a number of years, Shang-Chi sent out on his first mission for his father. I think he's like 13 or something. And he, instead of carrying out the mission and going back home, he runs away and stays away. And that's how he ends up in San Francisco and meets Katie and you get all their backstory. And so it's kind of a fun thing, getting to, you know, getting this backstory, but also just learning about Shang-Chi being this part of this, you know, kind of two worlds. You know, he's learned how to, you know,
he's like Hannah Montana.
Kind of. Yeah. Except he doesn't wear a wig.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But, you know, his past comes back to get him. Somebody recognizes the necklace that's around his neck. And his dad
have a really cool fight scene on a bus.
Really cool fight scene on a bus.
Probably, you know, one of the best scenes ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, very reminiscent of, you know, kind of Jackie Chan style kung fu movies. And yeah, no, it's really good. You get Razor Fist is the bad guy. In the comic books, he's actually got two fists. He doesn't have hands at all. He's just got two razors. And, you know, at least in this movie, which makes more sense to have a guy who actually can have one hand. But yeah, so he's got to fight him. And, you know, it's pretty fun. But they, you know, he manages to get away and then heads to, I think, Hong Kong, right?
I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I'm not positive either. But he heads to where his sister is. And finds this fight club thing that she runs. And in there is kind of interesting, too, because it's not just, you know, it's not just humans beating each other up. There's like, you know, you see in one of the battles, it's actually Wong, you know, from Doctor Strange. Wong is having a fight with the Abomination from the Hulk movie. And so that's a neat little, you know, callback, bringing the Abomination back. And which that then follows into the She-Hulk series. That whole Wong and him thing gets explained because they just kind of portal off together. They're fighting each other in the thing, but it's all like a fake fight. They're just doing it for the money. And so they portal off. And then, but there's also like, there's at one point, there's a Black Widow who's fighting one of the extremists people from Iron Man 3. And so that was an interesting little side fight. It's just a glimpse at that as they're walking through. And then Shang-Chi himself has to then fight his sister. And then after that, after she kind of wipes the floor with him,
she's better than else.
Yeah. And she is. And this is a woman who had, I think this was her first role. Like, she had no previous, or at least no big previous roles to her name. And she, it's interesting, too. She met her husband on the set of this.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's only been in two things. She's been in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings and in two episodes of The Witcher.
She should be in more stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So
she's great.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. So she's I suspect she'll be in more stuff, but yeah, she met her husband on the set of the movie. We also get Michelle Yao, who's awesome, has a long history with kung fu movies. She's been in a few of Jackie Chan's movies in the past.
Also badass woman.
Yes. And who's also been in a previous Marvel movie as a different character. She's one of the she's one of the Ravagers in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. She's part of Yondu's old crew.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So
maybe yeah, it is a multiverse movie.
Yeah, exactly. So so yeah, so and then and I remiss to say that Tony Leung was the one who played Wenwu, and so And then Zhi Ling was played by Menger Zhang. Or Zhang. But, you know, we, there's, it's kind of hard to talk about it. There's like a lot that goes on in this movie. And like I said, I don't want to recap the whole thing. I think everybody's doing a great job performing. Like Simu Liu, I had not been exposed to him at all before this movie. I know he'd been in a bunch of stuff previous to this, including the TV show Kim's Convenience, which he'd been a major part of. I'd never seen that, but I've heard good things about it. And so it's interesting to. So it was like it was a great introduction. I think a lot of people didn't know who he was. Like, you know, he was a relative unknown. He'd been around, of course, you know, but he'd been a relative unknown. And so it was great having a him embody this character because he does so well with it. It's just he's so confident in the role. And, you know, it's great. And it's one of those things where he actually lobbied Marvel like via Twitter to get the role. So and I think it was just one of those
sometimes
things
where, bullying works.
Yeah. Yeah. Soft bullying.
Yeah.
Know? So. But yeah, it's
assertiveness.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure that when auditions finally came up, it was like, OK, well, yeah, let's audition that guy.
And now he's Ken and Barbie.
Yeah, he's one of the kids. So
he's also in another movie, I think, coming out recently. I could be wrong. I need to look this up, but continue.
Yeah. So yeah, he's in that Arthur the King movie with Mark Wahlberg. That
You're right.
Where you saw it. Yeah, because we just saw the trailer for that again the other day. But yeah, it's this is a fun movie set with a lot of interesting new concepts and stuff and implications for the broader MCU because you know they've got to get to Talo to stop his dad the Mandarin from getting there and getting through this gate there that he thinks his dead wife Shang-Chi's mother is on the other side of. But he's being obviously he's everybody's like dude, you're being like tricked by whatever it is on the other side of the wall.
And if so, not for the like Marvel like people cameos and stuff that's in this movie, it feels like a fantasy sci-fi kind of like film, which is epic.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantasy sci-fi action. Fantasy action sci-fi.
Yeah,
whatever you want to call it. So I like that.
Yeah.
A lot.
No,
there were a lot more movies like this. Shang-Chi is one of a kind in its own league, in my opinion.
No. Oh, for sure.
The soundtrack alone.
Yeah. No, it's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah. Don't watch the movie. Just listen to the soundtrack. You'll get the gist.
I don't think you'll get the gist of it. You definitely need to see the movie. But yeah, no, everybody's doing great performances in this. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Awkwafina, but I think she does a really great job in this. And you know, it's you know, everybody's just doing really, really awesome in this. We get to see once they do get to Talo, there's all these mystical creatures there. And shortly before there, when they're at the Mandarin's compound. They end up finding Trevor Slattery, who we previously met in Iron Man 3, who was the actor pretending to be the Mandarin at the behest of Aldrich Killian. And so he was being held there by the real Mandarin. And so basically kind of being his like jester. In a way. So it's
that part of the movie is funny, but when you like really think about it, it's really fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not great for sure. But yeah, it's great seeing Trevor Slattery again. I know some people don't like him as a character or whatever, but I like him. I think he's funny. He's got this great thing going on with this creature that he's named Morris. It's got no face. It just looks like two butts with wings. and it's funny too, because like he's like, you know, he doesn't realize that other people can see him. So yeah, he's been
alone for so long. They're like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, oh, you can see Morris.
Yeah. He's like, oh, thank God. Yeah, I thought I was the only one who could see it. And so, yeah, no, it's just so funny. But it was great to see him. He's supposed to come back in another Disney Plus show that may or may not happen now. Which will be disappointing if it doesn't happen, because it was one of my favorite characters that I was hoping to see. That's Wonder Man. So if it doesn't happen, I get it. But at the same time, I'd love to see it. But and I like Trevor Slattery. He's a funny character. He's some good comic relief when you need it. So and even when you don't. Yeah, it's this. I don't know. This movie is just a lot of fun. There's the great sequence with the dragon at the end.
So good.
The all these like evil bat like creatures come out of the gate that the Mandarin ends up opening, and they like they're sucking their souls out and everything like that. It's like it's bad, and then the dragon helps to
like
stop
Death
that
Eater stuff.
Yeah kind of. And you know, the dragon, they raise the dragon from the water to help them, and you know, it's a great sequence seeing them seeing that dragon doing that. And it's just, I don't know, it's just cool.
Great scene.
Yeah And you know, it was something that I think it might have been the director's mom who told him that if he had a dragon in there, it had to help them, because dragons were helpers. They weren't, you know, destroyers or whatever. And so it was something that, you know, he needed to, she wanted to make sure he did, and he did. And, you know, he made sure that it was part of the story that way. But, this one's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of great action.
There's a really good action scene after the Fight Club stuff where they're fighting on scaffolding outside of the building.
Yeah.
It's got really great lighting, like stuff with reflections, and like it kind of reminds me of like Mario and Donkey Kong a little bit, with going up and down like ladders and stuff on scaffolding. But
well, it's very reminiscent of a lot of Hong Kong kung fu movies and stuff like that too, where they do similar stuff on scaffolding and everything. So it's just, you know, there's a lot of fun to this movie that like we said earlier, is like, I really want to see them do more with it. I don't want them to just not ever do anything with this universe. So
yeah,
I'm really hoping
it would be very, very disappointing if they never come back to Talo or Shang-Chi or anything to do with anything that was in this movie. It's just so, there's so many interesting parts of this that are just so, so tiny, that like, but they're so big, like they feel tiny in the movie, but they have big implications outside of the movie.
I'd
love to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm hopeful that we'll get to see more of it, and that it won't be something that doesn't get picked up later. So
one more favorite scene of mine, just to
tell.
I love the scene with his mom and dad in Talo, where they're like wind fighting. Like, doing that.
Well, he's
like,
doing his like, stuff.
Yeah,
and then,
he's doing his stuff, and then she's just, huh. I love powerful women. in movies and stuff. And this
Yeah.
movie has a chock full of them. Like,
Oh yeah,
it
definitely.
is that whole like women's side of that of the Shang-Chi family is just so they're so awesome. Like, so good.
Yeah. And I think that's what there's a nice balance to that as well. You know, you get the whole aggressive super kung fu stuff and everything like that, but then you get the more balanced kind of nature and the more feminine side of things, you know, and not that the feminine side of things is a
No, because I mean, like his
like
sister
it, that it's
uses
any weaker, yeah.
I don't know what she uses, but there these like things on like a rope. I
Yeah,
forget what
I
they
can't
are,
remember
but
what they're called,
it's
but yeah, they're
super
like
cool.
knives on
And
a rope.
she like yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah,
Ugh,
definitely cool.
so good. Like, if you haven't seen this movie yet, what are you doing with your life? Like,
Yeah, no, definitely.
not
You
to
need to
hate
see
or to shame, but to hate
it.
and to shame, what are you doing?
Yeah, definitely. You need to definitely see this
At
movie,
least a
for sure.
one-time watch.
Yeah, for sure. But I think if you see it and you like
I
it,
think it
you're
would
gonna go back
be
and see it more.
like, yeah, I think it would be like a pie in the face to the directors and to the artists and stuff that worked on this film for you to not even watch it once. It like just for those reasons, like nothing about the actors, nothing about the soundtrack, nothing about anything else in this video, like not video, but movie, but and then not even that it's a Marvel movie. The art and art style and cinematography in this film are some of the best that I've ever seen in a movie. And maybe I just haven't watched enough movies, but
That could be.
but
But
it's just
no, it's
so
really
good. The
good.
storytelling is so good. It's so rich and so full. I like you never get bored in this movie. There's
Yeah.
always something going on.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's like something that I've had gripes with Marvel in the past is that sometimes parts of the Marvel movies can feel like a slog because it's all like it's all context, 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 and then the actual story. Whereas all of this is story, 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 and then
Right.
context mixed in. Like it really feels like you're just reading a Chinese like fairy tale picture book almost.
Yeah,
Like
I can
that's
see
how
that.
it kind of feels for me. Like I used to read a bunch of like Chinese fables and stuff when I was in school back in elementary school, and like this movie just kind of like brought me back to that age, and it was just like I don't know, maybe I just have a significant like connection because of that, but
Yeah.
very, very cool, very good movie.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's definitely one of the highlights of Phase 4 for sure. It was a strong beginning, you know, with Black Widow kind of being an epilogue to that, and then having this one kind of be like, okay, we're starting off fresh, we're starting off with something new. Let's move forward. Let's keep moving forward. Let's not
I
you know,
wish this
keep our
movie had
stuff.
set the pace for the phase and for
Well,
the movies after it.
and I think that I think it does in a way. Like again, this is like the problem is that you know you kind of have to go watch the Disney Plus stuff. If you haven't watched that stuff, you have to go watch it and see the other characters, the new stuff, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel. You've got to go watch those so that you can enjoy new, fresh characters that haven't been around for the last, you know, such and such time period, you know, all the previous phases. And so you're getting fresh new characters that will hopefully grow and become more in the future. And you know, that's my hope. So, but yeah, I mean that's where I'm at with it. I don't think I have much else to say about it. I really enjoy the movie. I think it's really well done. I think everybody is great in it. And I'm hoping that we get more.
Read.
Right. Did you have anything else that you wanted to mention about it that we didn't talk about?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. All right. Well, then why don't you let people know where they can find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at RCKMNKY. And I have a pinned tweet with the rest of my socials if you'd like.
Right. That is great. And it's good having you back on again, even if it was literally just a couple of days later.
No problemo.
You will be back soonish, but not too soon.
Yeah, not too soon.
We'll just have to make sure that we get our schedules in sync for the future, though.
Yeah,
So,
well, it'll be a lot easier now.
So yeah, hopefully anyway. I mean, you
Yeah.
still got other stuff going on, so
Yeah.
we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, thanks again and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again to Katrina for joining me. On Monday, Amber Knapp returns to the show with Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, and Chopping Mall. And on Friday, Donna returns to the show to talk about The Eternals. Thanks for listening. Creepy and Geeky is a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Please check out morbidlybeautiful.com/podcasts for more great shows. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving the show 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, please share the podcast on social media to help spread the word. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at creepyandgeeky.com. Music for the podcast is Gratitude, composed by Harper Smith. You can follow the podcast on social media at Creepy and Geeky on both Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm GeekThulu on Twitter and Geek.Thulu on Instagram. You can support the podcast by ordering teas and more on TeePublic or by donating to the coffee page. All of the links are in the show notes. Finally, don't forget, stay creepy.